All right, we're going to try to figure out, before we go on, we're going to try to figure out the Rambam, the sheet of the Rambam on this sugya, to the best of our ability. The main chiddush of the Rambam, as opposed to, at least we know what Rashi says, is in the sugya of the Korah and the Truma, that why is it nignaz of libo l'shamayim? Rashi says, by the Truma and by the Korah, the reason it's nignaz if his libo was l'shamayim is because of mizman hazeh. Mizman hazeh, all hekdesh is nignaz, because we don't have Beis HaMikdash anymore, unfortunately. That is, in which case, it is not no chiddush at all. Obviously, mizman hazeh, if someone's makdish, it's nignaz. I mean, there's no other choice. The Rambam does not. It's very clear in the Rambam. Both he brings this chiluk down, both in Hilchos Erchin and in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, by the guy who donates a korah to the shul, or by the non-Jew who donates a korah to the shul, and by the Gentile who donates damim as opposed to Erchin. And he says, seems pretty clear. Even Bizman Hamikdash, we check out what he meant, and if he meant Ladas Yisrael, then we spend it on either shul or other things if it was damim, and if he means l'shamayim, then it is nignaz. And l'chora, what does he apply the nignaz? He applies the nignaz to the case of the korah, which is right here. He also applies it to the case of damim. L'chora, he's tying the nignaz in davavim aleph to the nignaz on davim and beis. I know that nignaz on davim and beis was erchin according to Rabbi Yehuda. But he applies that to damim, I mean neder damim according to her mayor. Why would he apply to neder damim according to her mayor? Probably because he just took the nignaz here and made a package deal and applied it there also. And that's why in Hilchos Erchin he quotes the test, the interview script from Daf Bava Menalev. Just like if you donate some beans to the shul, we ask him, what did you mean? Did you mean what the Jews think, or did you mean l'shamayim? Likewise, when he was neder damim, we ask, what did you mean? Did you mean what the Jews think? Or did you mean l'shamayim? So that's his big chiddush, that there's such a thing as geniza by hekdesh of a guy, which we wouldn't have thought, right? On daf hey and beis, geniza, we thought it was just a ham. We knew the union of rishon and yudayim. On daf vav and aleph, we thought that geniza was just bizman hazeh, which is no beis hamikdash. But the Rambam says no. That's the main chiddush. The Rambam says that libo l'shamayim means nignaz even bizman ha mikdash. That nignaz, why is it nignaz? L'chora, I mean, look at the context of the Rambam, because of the din of lo lachem. Because of the din of lo lachem v'lanu, that somehow requires that his contribution be nignaz, right? That's the context. He doesn't say it's nignaz because of lo lachem v'lanu. That's the context. Look at Hilchos Erchin. He says it doesn't go to the lishka lo lachem v'lanu. Rather, we ask him what he meant. If he meant what the Jews think, we spend on other things that are not for building up the mikdash in Yerushalayim. And if he meant l'shamayim, then it's nignaz. Clearly, it's nignaz because of lo lachem v'lanu. It could very well be, Menastam, I think the Achronim point this out, that this would explain why the Rambam is, if the Rambam takes lo lachem v'lanu so seriously that it even leads to, nignaz, this would be l'shitase in some of the other sheets as we saw of the Rambam last time, right? This is, he's very machmer lo lachem v'lanu. He says it leads to being nignaz. Rashi says, no, a guy's contribution is never nignaz. That's only bizman hazeh. We have no beis hamikdash. A Jew's contribution also be nignaz bizman hazeh. There's nothing special that a guy's hekdesh being nignaz according to Rashi. He says, no, lo lachem v'lanu leads to it being nignaz. L'chora, this is l'shitase. In the two other things that we saw, he interpreted differently from Rashi and the Mefarshim yesterday. That, when it comes to Tchila B'Sof, he has the most Machmir Peirush,
right? That what it's
sofim, we shouldn't even be mekabel it. Only b'diavad, if we're mekabel it, we can keep it, right?
Most makor perish
that we are never to be mekabel b'digabayis from a guy, and lechora on davar mesuyim. When he says the reason, I know Rabbi Gershom also starts out saying this, but then seems to not take it quite as seriously. And he says the reason is because of lo lachem v'lanu, and that's why you don't take it davar mesuyim, not because of some other reason, like, ah, maybe they'll change their mind, maybe they'll be misbayer, maybe it'll be a gnai, but he says no, because of a pasuk, because of a din, either be derice or at least midivrei Kabbalah. So the Rambam clearly has an agenda, clearly has a general shita, where he's very machmer on the gedder of lolachem v'lanu. He uses it to explain davar mesuyim when other people use other things. When it comes to tchil v'sof, he's the most machmer shat that you should not, you can take it in some historical periods, not other historical periods. Not once he brings it, you can take it. But no, you can never take it. The only havamina is if you made an act, if a Jew violated the halacha, then the Yevon will see if you keep it. But if Jews always keep the halacha, we would never take anything. And that makes sense that he says that it leads to nignas even as not a mikdash. Okay, now we just have to figure out. Clearly there's a general agenda. Clearly it fits into a general perspective. The question is just, technically, how does the Rambam work out? I think we left with two questions on the Rambam. Okay, we have to figure out in what order to answer our two questions of the Rambam. But what were our two questions of the Rambam? One was how exactly to distinguish between the case of Nignaz and the case of Tchila V'Sof. How does Nignaz fit into Tchila V'Sof? So what's our problems in the Rambam? Problem one, I don't think of each other, or just one problem is that he said he has different categories. One category is Tchila V'Sof. Right? What does Tchila V'Sof mean? We don't accept, and b'dieved, we give it back. So let's see what the case was. The case was, what did the Rambam say? Davar she'eino mesoyim lechatchila ein mekablim b'di'eved ein machzirin. Davar mesoyim lechatchila ein mekablim and b'di'eved machzirin, we give it back to him. That's clear. Then the Rambam goes on, even within Hilchos Matnas Ani and Perkes Halacha Ches, he says this, and likewise, in Erechin, Perk Aleph Halacha Yudbeis, Yeralt Yudbeis, then he has the case of Korah or Neder Damim. In the case of Korah or Neder Damim, if Libo Lashamayim, right? If he either, right? What's the case? Right after he brings down Malach of Tchila V'Sof, he says, Avol Beisa Knesses, for shul, a guy can donate, right? You have, by the way, in archaeology. Not that archaeology proves anything about Malach, because if you look through enough of the shuls in archaeology, you see that not all the shuls kept the halacha as we have it. Either they were run by rabbi or different sheep than halacha that didn't make it into the Talmud, or they were run by people who weren't so strict on halacha b'klal. Just like nowadays, there are all different kinds of shuls. But one of the things we see in a lot of shuls, which does work with halacha, is that some of the parts of the shuls were donated by Goyim. The Goyim got a little plaque. That's fine. Lolachem v'lanu beis hamikdash in Yerushalayim. But in shuls, it's fine. That's what the Rambam says, and that's clear from the Gemara also in Vav and Vav. The Goyim donated this to a shul, donated that to a shul. No one had any problem with it. Right, the base kineses, the kavli and lechachila, v'ushiyomer kidas sholif Rashi. Of course, that's only if he says I meant like the Jews think. The Jews think a shul is a shul, and a shul is different from hektish. The Jews understand that even though there's the holy temple in Jerusalem and there's temple Bethel,
Those are two different ways, even though in English they're the same word. They're two different things. The Holy Temple in Jerusalem may be rebuilt speedily in our days. That was called Hekdesh. And Temple Beth-El, or Young Israel of Forest Hills, that is merely a base Knesset, which is a very, very different lower level of halachic status. But Yimlo Amar Ton Gini Hashem Al Yerushalayim. But if he doesn't say I meant like the Jews, that Shul is different from Hekdesh, then you have to do Geniza because maybe Libo Lashamayim. Likewise, in Hilchos Erchin Perek Aleph, it says a Goy he passes like Rameir. Goy doesn't have Erchin, but he does have Neder Damin. And the Goy says, I pledge the value of Lubat, and he brings a suitcase full of money. Then we ask him, did you mean whatever the Jews think, in which case you use it for other good deeds, or did you mean Lashamayim, Hekdesh, and if it's Hekdesh, it's Nignas. So here we have by the Korah Neder Damim, if Libo Lashamayim, what do we find? Nignas. The problem is, hold on, he already has a Libo Lashamayim is Hekdesh. He already has a scheme of Hekdesh. We know what the rules for Hekdesh are. If it's Dar Masoyim, then Lechachila, one thing, then we don't take it. If it's Dar Shein Masoyim, then Lechachila, V'diyavid. So why doesn't the Rambam just say, if he meant Lashamayim, we should apply the same rules? But Pashas, the rule should be, in the case of Erechen, which is not a Dar Masoyim, he just brings a suitcase of cash, then we should Lechachila not accept it, but V'diyavid, we could keep it and use it. Not Nignas. And if it's a Korah, in Ma'azim Cheskas, he was explicit that Korah is an example of Dover Masoyim. That is very explicit according to the Rambam. If it's a Korah, Evan, and then even the Evan, we shouldn't accept it. We should be Machzir. So why can you say the Korah, we shouldn't take it if we took it, be Machzir? And the Damim, we shouldn't take it. If we took it, we can use it. So why all of a sudden did he say Nignas here? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Okay, so how do you fit these Rambams into a scheme? And it's even the Korah is in the same halacha. Right? Obviously, he didn't mean to be mysterious. He meant to be clear. So what's pshat? Anyone? What's pshat? What are the rules according to the Rambam? When is it nignas? When do we machzir? And when do we use it? I thought there are two possibilities. Machzir and keep it. Now the third possibility, perhaps, called nignas. How do you know when to do what? Practical. I'm not asking for lumdas. Just what it means. Anyone? Okay, so there might be more than one way you interpret the Rambam here. The Chazon Ish, I think, is pretty clear what he thinks the Rambam means. And a few of the Achronim, I might have had Norsamech in brackets here someplace, I'm not sure, Manasaniyim, he seems to assume the same thing, but he doesn't deal with it explicitly. The Chazon Ish seems to pretty explicitly answer just what's pshat in the Rambam, posh of pshat, just practical posh of pshat, tell me what to do, I don't want any svaras. What does the Chazon Ish say? What is the Chazon Ish's basic solution to this problem? Yeah, it's a long Chazon Ish. You have to find the place where he's answering our question. One second, it's here someplace, I think. Here it is. L'dat HaRambam, says the Chazon Ish, in the middle of a big paragraph, the Chol Hekdesh, the general rule of Hekdesh, Ash Ein Mekablin. What do we mean, Ein Mekablin? Because Lovim Ein Kedoshin, it's still Hekdesh. What do you mean, Ein Mekablin? He's actually killing two birds with one stone here. It works out fairly nicely. What do you mean if a guy brings Hekdesh but he buys a tablet? It's Hekdesh. What do you just send it back home with the guy if it's Hekdesh? You're allowed to just be Moser Hekdesh to a guy to tell him to treat it as chulin? Like, does that make sense? A guy says, I was makdish this bar of gold for Bedek HaBayis. So we say, take it home and be Mechal Hekdesh? It's a little strange. I mean, some of them think we do. But says the Chazon Ish, "Mikomakom ekedoshim, v'rin la'akom la'gomzam." The near the gamakom also the hundred spin a hekdesh. Shulam they know how to guess. Says, what does it mean? Ein mekablin. Ein mekablin means geniza. Ein mekablin and geniza are the same thing. What do you mean we don't accept it from a guy? We tell the guy, "Thank you for being makdishit, but no thanks. It's hekdesh, but we won't take it." The guy says, "What do you mean it's hekdesh, but you won't take it? What am I supposed to do with hekdesh that you don't take?" Hekdesh, you don't take. We have a Sheamus box here. You're gomez it. You don't do anything with it. We don't use it for Hekdesh, but you can't use it for secular purposes. You just put it in Geniza here. We have a Sheamus box in the shul. You put it in the Sheamus box in the shul. You know, maybe it's a lot of money. We'll put it in the safe or something. And we'll go to the cemetery. We'll bury it and no one will ever use it for the rest of eternity. That's called Geniza. So that's what Chazon Ish says. That now, it would be nicer if the Rambam was a little more explicit. But he says, well, it's obvious that ein mekablin or machzirin. What does machzirin mean? It means machzirin legniza. It can't be that we're just mechabel hektish and let him use it to for secular purposes. Right? And now he could take hektish and use it to buy meat and have a barbecue and invite his friends over, or donate it to a pagan temple instead. No. So, and then he says maybe even a mekablin sold the bed guy, so a mekablin sold the gniza. Maybe a mekablin is a subtlety. Doesn't mean we tell the guy to be donated. Maybe even we're willing to be donated. But he calls that ein mekablin. Okay, so he has two subtle possibilities. Ein mekablin is the guy has to be gonis and we don't touch it, or we're willing to touch it, we just tell the guy we're touching it to put it in Sheamus. But either way, the yesod of the Chazon Ish is very poshut, is that, says the Chazon Ish, ein mekablin equals yigonis. It's saying the same thing in two different words. And now, the Rambam makes perfect sense. Lebedek habayis, Bain Dover Masuim Nevisha'im Masuim Ein Mekablin. Pashat that Ein Mekablin, right? Everyone knows Ein Mekablin. If Ein Mekablin, then that's the same as Yiganes. So all the Rambam is saying is that it's another way of saying L'chachila Ein Mekablin. We know L'chachila Ein Mekablin, right? According to the Chazon Ish, this is just another way of saying Ein Mekablin. Yiganes means Ein Mekablin. We don't accept it and say thank you, we will apply this to the Bedek Habayis Fund. Instead, we say put it in Sheamus.
Is there some definition of this Gniza?
The definition of Gniza...
When somebody uses it by mistake, is there a, you know, Me'ilah?
Quite possibly. I mean, the Rambam says in Hilchos Me'ilah Perkei, there is a Din of Me'ilah. Okay, so you have to figure out if it goes into Gniza, why is there a Din of Me'ilah, but maybe there isn't. I mean, the Rambam says the Din of Me'ilah, then it makes sense we should put in Gniza. What does Gniza mean? Gniza means, I mean, technically, halachically, I think the yisod of what Gniza means is that we put it someplace where no one will ever. Gniza basically means Isra not forever. What did that practically mean? What that practically means, what Gniza practically means is we have to put it someplace where no one will ever find it. You know, classically in Gniza, you know, you could throw it into the Yam HaMelach or something like that. You know, throw it to the bottom, take a cruise and throw it to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Mistama, you could also equate it with thick barin and perhaps bury it. So you have to figure out.
That's all good if you say it's an Inyan Hekdesh, but if the whole problem is Lo Lochem Lulanu, why can't you give it back to him?
Because it's still Hekdesh. What do you mean?
I mean, there's hektesh and there's lochem lolanu. Those are two separate things. They don't.
No, exactly. Those two. On the one hand, it's hektesh. Hektesh is hektesh. On the other hand, it's lo lochem lolanu. We can't use it. What do you do with hektesh that you can't use? Hektesh that you can't use goes to Gniza. Not a crazy pshat. That's the point. There is no din of Gniza by hektesh per se. I mean, okay. There's not generally a din of Gniza by hektesh per se. But we're stuck. We have hektesh that we can't use. What do you do with hektesh you can't use? You put it in Gniza. I mean, similar to, let's say, kachmir shemesu, right? I'm makdish a cow for an olah and it drops dead of a heart attack. So, it's hektesh on some level. Maybe only for rabbanan. Okay, it's hektesh, but I can't use it. So what do? Nikmar, we bury it. Which is, we put it with the Sheamus. What about hektesh ben azeh? Rashi says, Yiganes. Why? Because hektesh you can't use. So here it's hektesh that you can't use. Hektesh that you can't use is Nignaz. That's the Chazon Ish. That's his pshat on the Rambam. And it makes the Rambam...
seems like you're running away from the
Rambam. Meaning, look, every pshat has a strength and a weakness. Otherwise, there would only be one pshat. The strength is that the scheme works pretty well. The weakness is that you think the Rambam should have said someplace that Ein Mekablin means Gniza. You know, beforehand, you're right. So that's the weakness that he should have said. And the other weakness is that if there is, okay, then he deals with some other weaknesses here, but we can leave that for now. That's the Chazon Ish. You're right. He is denying that there's any significance to the change of terminology. So you say, Maduyik, why is there a change of terminology? Okay, so he's saying the Rambam wasn't so Maduyik in expressing his words here. He figured we would know what he meant. That's the price he's willing to pay in order to have a nice Hesper. Okay, the truth is that I'm not sure there's any other Hesper that I'm 100% sure I understand. So this is the Chazon Ish, and it seems to be a lot of Achronim, even though they didn't discuss it straight on, assumed this as well. Maybe even took this as obvious.
And the Lechem Mishnah that you assigned us?
Okay, the Lechem Mishnah is confusing, but doesn't seem to assume like this Chazon Ish. Right. It would be nice if he was very, very explicit about what he did assume, but he doesn't seem to assume like this Chazon Ish. The Lechem Ish seems to assume that somehow Nignaz is different from the case of Ein Mekavlin. The problem is that he doesn't really explain so well what he does mean. If anyone disagrees with that, feel free to speak up. But it doesn't seem to be that he explains so well what he does mean. He points out something. He says, well, this case is different by the Erechim because he didn't say it was for Bedek Abayis. Right? I mean, what's interesting is by both of these cases, why do we have to clarify? Because he didn't say what he thought, right? He's dummy a lie, right? He said dummy a lie, or dummy plony a lie. He just pledged dummy plony. He didn't say for what. Now we have to interrogate him. What did you mean for what? Or, in the case where he brought a korah to the shul, he didn't say for what. He brought it to the shul, we might assume. Again, if a Jew brought a korah to the shul, we assume obviously it means shul, not hektish. Or the guy, we're not sure what he means. If a Jew said dumb malai, obviously we go to Bedek Abayis, because Jews are supposed to get money to Bedek Abayis. With the guy, we're not sure. So both these cases, he wasn't so clear exactly what he meant. Now, he doesn't then go on to explain how this is, you know, he says, well, the case of Erechim is different. It wasn't clear what he meant, and therefore we accept it. And maybe he meant Das Yisrael, and we could just spend it on, what would we spend on if he meant Das Yisrael again? The Brisk Rav suggests at one point maybe he was spending on Olas, but the simple shot is we would just spend it on cute public works that are not for building the Mikdash and Yerushalayim. You know, we would spend it on a swimming pool, we would spend it on, on some nice artwork to hang in the museums. What?
Teddy for the little kids to run in the water.
Yeah, we'd spend it on, you have to figure out exactly what's called building your shalayim and what right. isn't. But yeah, we'd figure something out. I'm not here going to try to draw the line between what's considered building your shalayim and what's considered just a cute extra. So how does that explain why it's Nignaz? Like, if Nignaz really is different than the other cases, then the Lechem Ish is sort of giving us a clue. Maybe it's different in these cases because he didn't say it was for Bedek Abayis. If he said it's for Bedek Abayis, we have the rule, ain't Mekavlin. And if you were Mekavlin, it depends if it's Mesuyim or not Mesuyim. Over here, he didn't say it was for Bedek Abayis. If he didn't say it was for Bedek Abayis, then somehow it is different. But why should that lead to it being Nignaz? Anyone have any other idea here? Basically, the Chazon Ish is saying Ein Mekavlin is Yigun is the same as Ein Mekavlin. The Lechem Ish seems to be hinting that it's a third case. It's not like any of the other cases. It's a different rule. Why should this have this different rule? So it's a bit, I admit, it's a bit mysterious. And if you say, well, because we're a Ren Mikabel, then still. So we should be Machir, Vizodoshim, Mesoyim, and Kibin, Vizodoshim. No, that's Ainu Mesoyim. Where do we get Yigunis from? So I'm not sure exactly where to go with that Derech. Still, he wants you to go in that Derech. Because he wants Nignaz to be Meduyuk, that it's something different. The question is exactly where do you go? And the Lechem Ish is very far from clear. But maybe you could say,
Because he's saying it's L'Shamayim, that seems to be the problem.
There's a difference between, Lebedek Habayis. What you have to say is there's a difference between Lebedek Habayis and L'Shamayim. Right? Somehow there's a difference between Lebedek Habayis and L'Shamayim. What's the difference? Doesn't mean Lebedek Habayis, L'Shamayim is Kachim is Be'ach. If L'Shamayim is Kachim is Be'ach, we just use the money to buy an Ola and bring the Ola. Obviously L'Shamayim is something awfully similar to Bedek Habayis.
Would you be able to say that L'Shamayim is something Bedek Habayis, something Kachim is Be'ach, and then you really stop?
Say Lashamayim is Safek Berek Abayis Safek Mizbeach.
What do you do with Kachin that are Safek Berek Abayis Safek Mizbeach?
I guess you'd be Nignaz because it's not good for either. That's not exactly what I was going to say, but it is, but it definitely is awfully attractive. What?
How does that going to work with a Korah?
Korah. That if he gave the Korah.
He gave the Korah to solve the Korah and buy a cat.
So, and this is a lot for him to be thinking there. A lot for him to be thinking. You see, I want to say a little different than Yosef. Although more mechadish. He's not being mechadish any halachos. He's just being mechadish. Psychology. That we're not sure the guy might have been thinking use this korah to buy a cow for a carbon, or he might have been thinking use this korah to build it into these to fix the building of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Minastan, the guy wasn't thinking much of anything. Minastan, the guy wrote a korah in the shul. What does it mean? Is Ashamayim? It just means some like vague idea of giving it to God in his mind, which is making it sanctified for God, which is beyond giving to a base Knesset.
He says that that we're worried the guy is giving it to Olah.
That what?
We're worried that the guy is giving it to a Sheikh Nimim and Olah.
Okay, so you do have a. sorry, where was it? He says by the truma, but clearly you could say just as much kida amra. Okay, so I want to say maybe a little different, although Yosef has a good taina, is that maybe Lashamayim means he had some general idea of hektish in mind called Lashamayim. But it wasn't, he didn't specify whether it is for Ben Kabayis or for Mizbeach. He wasn't thinking of a particular type of hektish here. He was thinking of a general idea of hektish here, and even though usually we don't find such thing as a general idea of hektish, usually hektish has to be either for Bedek Abayis or for Mizbeach, that might be by Jews. By Jews, they're supposed to dedicate to Bedek Abayis. Whenever I dedicate something that's not for the Mizbeach, that's for Bedek Abayis. By Goyim, who don't really have a category of Bedek Abayis, maybe, let me just say a little differently, how I'm saying different than the Chazon Ish, and this, Yosef Meyer might not agree with this point. According to the Chazon Ish, what does Ein Mekablin means Yigonis? According to what I'm trying to say, it could be that Ein Mekablin means, now here it's going to be a, a little tricky, means, right, or let's say, I'm going to get into a little trouble later, and I'm not, okay, Shuto kemashmao, meaning, he takes it home. Ein mekablin means he takes it home. Right? Ein Mekablin is literally Ein Mekablin. What's the rule if a goy brings for Bedek Abayis? If he says, this is for Bedek Abayis, a goy is not supposed to bring for Bedek Abayis. We tell him, you cannot bring for Bedek Abayis, just take it home. We don't worry about what's happening with this hektish, because a goy's hektish is not supposed to go to Bedek Abayis. If a goy, however, if he has this Lashamayim, you could say, Suffolk Bedek Abayis, Suffolk Mizbeach. In which case, you don't have to say what I said. Or you could say, no, Lashamayim is a general hektish Lashamayim, so what do we do with that? We can't tell him to take it home, because it's Nitfas Lashamayim. He gave it, he didn't give it to Bedek Abayis, so a goy is not supposed to give it to Bedek Abayis. So we don't worry about sending home. It's not a chilul hektish to send it home with him. It's not a chilul hektish, It's not a chilul hektish to send it home with him, because a goy is not supposed to give it to Bedek Abayis, lo lachem v'lanu. However, If he gives general Lashamayim, then we're stuck. We can't use it for Bedek Abayis Lohem V'lanu, but his Hekdish was not Hekdish only if it could be used for Bedek Abayis. It was not Hekdish only for Bedek Abayis. It was a general Hekdish Lashamayim. It's still Shayach Lashamayim. If it's Shayach Lashamayim, we can't send it home for him. So if we can't send it home for him, but we still can't use it for Bedek Abayis, so then we're stuck, and Yossi's about to point out that Pelvis Me'ila works better for him than for me. I'll put that in a second. So maybe you could say like this, that if a guy is... for Bedek Habayis... it's mutter for him to take it home, but for general Lashamayim, now it belongs to Hekdesh. Once it was Hekdesh, but we can't use it, because Lashamayim didn't say Lemizbeach. So it's Lashamayim, it's not Lemizbeach. It's the general Hekdesh that doesn't fall into any category. Now it belongs to Hekdesh, but we can't use it. So therefore, Yiganes. Again, this is different from what Yosef was trying to say. Right? What Yosef was trying to say is structurally similar to mine at the beginning, right? But Yosef was trying to say also up here the inside of the Lechem Mishnah. Again, I'm not claiming what I know what the Lechem Mishnah holds, right? Yosef was trying to say that Lashamayim equals Safek Lemizbeach Safek Lebedek Habayis, and you know what? If a Jew is donated something to have something Lebedek Habayis, it would also be Yiganes. Now, it might not happen, because by a Jew, since he knows there's mitzvahs to do both ways, we might have a clear understanding that he either means one way or the other way, and everything a Jew does, we'll know what he means. If he does Damin, we know it means Lebedek Habayis, that's the rule. Alright, so by a Jew, it might be very rare to have a case of something to have something Lebedek Habayis. But if by a Jew he had something there, some bedek habayis, that would also be yiganes. It just so happens by a guy that's more common, because since a guy is not supposed to donate to bedek habayis, so by a Jew, stam hekdesh to bedek habayis. By a guy, stam hekdesh is suffix, he's not supposed to bring to bedek habayis, and therefore, right, that's what you were saying, and therefore, would be nignaz a Jew. But it doesn't come up, or at least it rarely comes up, because usually, since Jews are supposed to donate to Bedek Abayis, they mean Bedek Abayis. Goyim leave a suffix. They're not supposed to give the Bedek. Basically, the guy sounded like Bedek Abayis, but he's not supposed to. A Jew who sounds like Bedek Abayis means Bedek Abayis. A guy who sounds like Bedek Abayis, but on the one hand, it sounds like Bedek Abayis, and on the other hand, he's only supposed to give those there. So it ends up a suffix. That's what Yosef was saying. What I was saying was something that I guess maybe is a little more on the madrega of the machshava of Asam Gael, who knows, he does a really gershom, and again, you always construe the machshava. What I was saying is, no, Lashamayim is a general hektish, which a Jew wouldn't have, because a Jew goes to Bedek Habayis. But for a guy, Bedek Habayis is not really tofis. A guy's Bedek Habayis would not be tofis. Excuse me. A guy's Bedek Habayis would not be tofis, I know, we have to deal with that. But his general hectish would be, but it can't be used, so it's Nignaz. Okay, so now we have three tzotzim in how to understand the Rambam of Nignaz. The Chazon Ish says Nignaz in Mekabelin, same thing, it fits in beautifully. Okay, there's a few things, everyone's got a few things to explain. Based on the Lechem Mishnah, even though he never really finished his thought, we want to say, no, there's a difference between Lashamayim and Levitic Habayis. What the difference is, Yosef says in Marpasha way, Lashamayim is just a suffix where they remember they have Levitic Habayis. You know, which is a, I don't time is against. And I want to say in a more pashut psychologically, but less pashut halachically way, that Lashamayim is a general hektish Lashamayim, And therefore, since it's a general hechsher, so now belongs to Shemayim, you can't tell him to take it home with him. However, however, since Lulachem Belonim, you can't use it for Medic Abayis, and therefore it's just stuck in limbo and it is Nignas. Okay, so that's maybe shot in this Rambam. According to, what's interesting is according to Yosef Shah, the Nignas is not directly because of Lulachem Belonim, which is fine. Just Lulachem Belonim creates a psychological suffix what he meant. But that caused it to be Nignas. Okay, the other problem that we have in the Rambam was the question of Me'ilah we brought up before, the question of Me'ilah. What did our Gemara say? Our Gemara said, at first they said Erpon Nignas, say can't be because then there would be Me'ilah. Right? So the Gemara sounds like Nignas and Me'ilah are two opposite things. Right? Me'ilah is only by useful kachim, not by useless kachim. Right? That was clear in the Gemara, right? Me'ilah only applies to, like, Chatos HaMisos are useless, some Nignas. Anything that's Chulchan LaMisa or the money that goes to Yam HaMelech or something that's Nignas that's useless. The, has no Me'ilah. Yet the Rambam says, what is the Rambam saying? Helps Me'ilah Perkei. He says, Kachi Benek Abayis of Akum have Me'ilah. Why do they have Me'ilah if it's Nignas and Machzirin and we, well, let's start with Nignas. Why does that Me'ilah if it is Nignas? So, why do they have Me'ilah if they are Nignas and not useful? Now, the simplest answer to this is what's the simplest answer?
My simplest answer is because it's a suffix whether you have to Nigonez it or not. You're not sure what happened, so you're Nigonez from suffix, maybe it is, but maybe it isn't.
Okay, except for the, okay, that's interesting. Except for the fact that the suffix is only in certain limited cases, right? Meaning, not in Stam Kachi Benek Abayis, in Stam Kachi Benek Abayis, we never said it was a suffix.
Case with the guy.
What?
Case with the guy. You're not sure what he had in mind, you're not sure what's going on.
Okay, so I think if you're right, there's something that two steps before what you said that's correct.
If you have Me'ilah, and you throw the Yamamelah, Nignas, the same thing as I steal it.
No, not at all.
I mean,
it's not true. If you're Mazik Hektish, that's not Me'ilah.
You take away the ownership in a way.
That's fine. I mean, destroying Hektish is not Me'ilah, though. The Gemara Darshan ain't Me'ilah. Eloshinoi. Me'ilah is only using it for yourself. Destroying Hektish is not Me'ilah. Destroying Hektish, I'm not saying it's always Mosul Hafila. Sometimes it is Mosul Hafila, sometimes not Mosul Hafila. But destroying Hektish is not Me'ilah. If I would, we shouldn't talk about such a thing. I burn down Beis HaMikdash like the Romans. I violate a lot of Lo Sasun Kein L'Hashem L'Keichem. You're not allowed to destroy, you're not allowed to destroy Kachim. But it wouldn't be Me'ilah. Me'ilah is only to get benefit from. So the simplest pshat, and this is what most of the Achronim say, is that they are simplest pshat. Well, I don't know what's the simplest pshat. One pshat is there are two different cases. The case of Me'ilah is davar she'ena masuyim, right? Which I could keep, right? The case of Me'ilah is a davar she'ena masuyim. Sorry. And is Dabar Mesoyim, then that's a little tricky, because one of the cases of Nignas, Dabar Mesoyim is useless, right? I have to give back. Only Dabar She'ein Mesoyim is b'diavad useful, so Me'ilah is only Dabar She'ein Mesoyim. Nignas is talking about a Dabar Mesoyim. Here it's a little tricky, because Nignas is talking about a Korah and about money, right? Dabar, isn't money Dabar She'ein Mesoyim? So, you probably have to say, like the Birka Yosef, to get it back, is that he does says money counts as a Dabar Mesoyim, because when someone gives money, everyone knows money's the best, right? With money you can buy anything. Money's better than a Dabar Mesoyim. If I give money, you can use that money to buy anything, so for sure I take credit for the whole Beis HaMikdash. That's his Kiddush. Money's like a Dabar Mesoyim, because money is the best thing to donate, because you can buy anything with it, and then the guy feels like he's taking credit. If I donate used cars for kids, not a Dabar Mesoyim. People aren't proud of that donation. They realize that the guy has to resell it, and he gets a bad price, and so they don't feel like they're balabatim. If you give money, you feel like the balabas. Okay, but then you have to be a Kaddish. You have to say the Kiddush of the Chidah and the Birka Yosef, that money is Dabar Mesoyim. Or perhaps the simpler way to say it is that case of Me'ila is in a Dabar She'ein Mesoyim Shetvar Kiblu. The case of the Me'ila is when the Jews already accepted it. Once the Jews already accepted it, now it's going to be used. So now it's a Bar Me'ila. Once the Jews accepted a Dabar She'ein Mesoyim, now it's a Bar Me'ila. What's the case of Nignas? Is Kisha Lo Kibluhu. Right, Nignas is, I didn't accept it, I told the guy to put it in Sheamus. Okay, so you could say it's totally different cases. The Gemara says Nignas is a Stira to, it's going to be a little, it's going to work less well for, okay. To say Benigbais versus Shemayim is not going to work out to answer this for either Pshat. Okay, what? Because it's going to be your Pshat, Shemayim should also have Me'ila.
Why?
We suffered the no Me'ila?
Suffered Mizbeach, there's no Me'ila. Suffered Benigbais, there's no Me'ila.
But your answer is going to end up being Mechlal the Grizz's answer anyway. Okay. Anyway, this is one approach. One approach is to say they're talking about different cases. The other approach is the Grizz. And then there are very different variations of this. But the Grizz has a nice lumbish answer here to answer the Rambam. He says no. He says, Pashup Shot in the Rambam is... He says, all cases of have Me'ila, even useless ones. Even ones that are totally useless, that we don't use for Vedic advice, that all still have Me'ila. Why? And here he makes a more lundish, brisker chiluk. He says there are two reasons why Kachin could be useless. Kachin could be useless because of an internal din in their hektish, because of the nature of their hektish. I'm skipping a few middle stages. Or Kachin could be useless because of a side problem. Right? So Kachin could be fundamentally useless. Like, what's a fundamentally useless Kachin? Chathos Amesos, right? Chathos, the owner, died. In the hektish of this, which is hektish for this person's chathos, which doesn't exist, is fundamentally useless. Or kachim shemesu. Kachim is be'ach shemesu. An ola drops head, now you can't be married anymore. It's fundamentally not, its hektish is not right. And then he says, but simply in hektish ben kabayis, he brings a Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says in the Rambam that in kachim ben kabayis, okay, here's what you need. You need Reb Chaim in the Rambam. Reb Chaim says in the Rambam, in Kachet Benek Abayis, this is something we discussed when we learned Me'ila. That was a long time ago. When did we learn Mehila? Maybe four summers ago. Three or four summers ago. What did I get? That I'm sure. Three or four summers ago. He says, the difference in Kachem and Gabayis and Kachem is Be'ach. Kachem is Be'ach, only have Mehila if you can bring him on his Be'ach. Kachem and Gabayis always have Mehila. Says, why? Because the Rambam writes that Kachem, if a makish an animal to Be'ach Gabayis and it dies, it still has Mehila. But the Rambam writes, we need Hamad of Ha'racha. Remember we mentioned that earlier this summer, that you can't be Podeh, a dead animal, because it can't stand up. If you can't be Podeh, then what can you do with it? Just nignas, right? Or you cover, right? You can't use it for any device. The Rambam thinks even useless kachim bedik avayis have me'ila. Because an animal that died is useless because you can't use a carcass for bedik avayis because it's not useful for anything. And you can't sell it to the dog food company because you can't be podet because it's not hamad of arach, because it can't stand up. Yet it still has kedusha. Because once something's kachim bedik avayis, it has kedusha even if it's not useful anymore. Okay, that's because the Rambam seems to see Kachem as the Hekdesh and Kachem as the Echabayim. Kachem and Echabayim as stemming from just the fact that it was given to Hekdesh, and not necessarily for its future use. Also, what did the Gemara mean? It says the Gemara meant like this. There's two reasons something can be useless. It can be useless because Be'etzem is Hekdesh, is not, something could Be'etzem, the Hekdesh could be Pugum, because the Hekdesh is for a useless purpose, or something could be useless because of a side problem. The Gemara meant if something be'etzem is useless, like in the Havni, the kachem bedik avayis of a guy, be'etzem is useless because a guy cannot. The hektish of bedik avayis cannot come from a guy. It's a ruling hektish. Since the Havni was, it's a ruling hektish. Hektish bedik avayis of a guy cannot be used. Since that was the Havni. But the maskana is that it's not an internal flaw in the hektish. It's a side problem. What's his right that it's a side problem? It says A, the Gemara says Rifi Yudayim is clearly a side problem. It says B, because the Rambam Paskins, not only can't you build the Beis HaMikdash from a guy, what else can't you build from a guy? Yerushalayim. That's not hektish. It means a guy can't give money to build walls of Yerushalayim. It's not hektish. You don't have to be makdish money to build the walls of Yerushalayim. What does that show? That it's not an internal problem in the hektish. It's an external problem. The guy can't build mikdash. But it's not a hektish issue, because then it wouldn't apply to the walls of Yerushalayim. It's a makom issue. The muck of the mikdash can't be built by a guy. Says the Griz, therefore, what do I mean by this? It says this. What's the svara? The svara is that if kachim and kabayis are useless because of an internal flaw in the hektish, then there's no me'ila. And that was the Havmi of the Gemara. But if it's useless because of a side problem, then there is Mi'ila, like Behema Shemesa. Why do we say Behema Shemesa is useless because of a side problem? Because you makdish a donkey for bedik avayis, it died. Now it's useless because you can't sell it for money, because you can't be poted with that hamad of haracha, so there's nothing you can do with it. The Rambam Paskins are still Mi'ila. The other Rishonim don't agree, but that's the Rambam Paskins, that's what Chaim discusses in his Chibur. And his basic finishes, Lo Lachem V'lanu, is a side problem, says the Briskara. Again, that would be Kal Chomer, Mevnosikolsky. He also says, Shad, if it's only because of a suffix, that's clearly a side problem. It's only useless in the suffix, that's clearly a side problem. Although.
That depends on whether or not you actually say Bedek Avayis straight out. I would assume, like you, that if you say Bedek Avayis straight out, then.
Then there's
Mi'ila. No, then it's in Kabbalah, Mishmashma, I would take it on. I have no reason not to say that. I mean, that's my pshuta.
Ah, okay, so you're more complicated. Okay, so let's leave for now just to, not out of any tightness, just to not confusing. So, okay, again, this is like classic Brisker Lundus, right? What the Briz is classic Brisker Lundus? Again, just review. The Gemara says, Hekdish that's useless has no me'ila. But yet, the Rambam said that if you donate a donkey to Benedict of Ice and it dies, there is me'ila even though it's useless. What's pshat? The Brisker says, no, there's two types of useless hekdish. There's useless hekdish because of something internal to its hekdish, and there's useless hekdish because of an external problem. It says, if it's internal to the hekdish that this is a useless hekdish, then there's no me'ila. If it's external, then there's still me'ila. There's just a side problem. It has to be Benedict of Ice. It just has a side problem. And said the Brisker, that's the Shakutari and Haman Bays. At first they asked, if it's Nignaz, why would it have me'ila? Because they think Nignaz means fundamentally, the Kedusha is not really two-faced and it's Nignas. Or rather, the Kedusha doesn't really have a purpose and it's Nignas. That fundamentally, Hekdish is without a purpose. Says the Gemara, no. Look, Rifkin Yadayim. Really, the Benedict of Ice does have Kedusha Benedict of Ice. There's just an external problem of Lulachem Velanu. And what's the proof that Lulachem Velanu is an external problem? Because it applies to Chulin as well as Kachim. It applies to the base of Mekdash, which is Kachim. It also applies to the walls of Yerushalayim, which are Chulin. Therefore, that proves that it's not a flaw in the Hekdish. Because how could a rule that applies to Kachim and Chulin be a flaw in Hekdish? It's just a side problem. You know, it's a, what if all the Jews swore al Das Rabin not to use this contribution? Would you say it doesn't have any elux, it's useless now? No, of course it has to do spending of ice. It's just a side problem using it. Okay, that's how the Brisker answers this question. The Rambam seems to be against the Gemara. He makes a Lundish Chilak, and he says the Rambam's Lulachem Velanu is not an internal flaw in the Hekdish, but it's an external side problem in the Hekdish. and that's why there is still Me'ila. Of course, if you took this approach, that might affect, I don't want to totally go into it now, the question of what a Mekabla means. If you say it's only a side problem, then it's easier to say like the Chazan Ish that Ein Mekablim means Nignaz. It's a little harder to say like me that Ein Mekablim means send it home with him, but the Rugged Shepherd says it means send it home with him anyway because you could use the rule of Bogo, Priest, and Kalaluhu, and we're not going to get into connecting the two sides of this line now. You can work that out and we can discuss it later on our own. Okay, so this is what we've seen so far in the Rambam. We saw the Rambam had a unique Shita which started by his Pshat and Nignaz and then took a machmir stance for Lulachem Velanu throughout the whole sugya. Not like Rashi, that it was just depends on historical circumstances, but really it's fine in good historical circumstances, and not like the Rabbinic Gershom, that, well, better not to, but no big deal, but like a clear isser, and the only time we ever accept it is only in certain things, and even then, only b'dievet if someone did an Avera. And then we just try to fit the Rambam's Gneza, his Chiddush and Gneza, into two other things. A, having been to the scheme of the Rambam of Tchil and Sof, and there we had two or three approaches. And B, how does it fit with Me'ila? How is there Me'ila if there's Gneza? The simplest answer is, say, the case of Gneza and Me'ila are two separate cases. In the case of Gneza, there's no Me'ila. Because the case of Gneza was only Darvah Masoyim. And Me'ila was Darvah Shein Masoyim, where the case of Gneza was when we didn't accept it. And Me'ila was when we did accept it. And we keep it. Or like the Brisker Rav, to say that just because something is useless and Nignaz doesn't mean it has no Me'ila. Depends how deep the problem is. If the problem is connected to the nature of its Hekdish, then there's no Me'ila. But if the problem is a side problem, we say the Hekdish is a Hekdish Gummer, and there's Me'ila, there's just a side problem using it, and that's how the Brisker Rav understood Lulachem Velanu the Rambam. It's a very Chomer side problem, but it's not a flaw in the Hekdish. It's not a din of Hekdish. It's a side problem, a din of Mikdash for Yerushalayim, which applies to both Hekdish and Chulin. I don't like to say political, because people misunderstand and think political is the opposite of religious. When, obviously, if you have a religion like Judaism that covers everything, political is part of the religion. It's just one part, not the other part. But the Brisker Rav would say, no, this is not a Hekdish problem, Lulachem Velanu. This is a political problem, Lulachem Velanu. That the Mikdash in Yerushalayim, which is the Jewish city, which is the capital of their city that's dedicated to Avodas Hashem, has to be a purely Jewish project to bring the Jews together and center them around that. But it's not that the Hekdish is not Chalav. The Hekdish Benedict of Ice is Chalav. Just a side problem, we can't use it. Okay.
So much for the Rambam and our sugya. Let us. Yes.
Is that the opposite? Like the same as the Rabbi by Chametz by Nikvarim or Nisrofim. I mean, in Nisroso Bukach or not. It's the same type of thing where the Hekish can bring it to the Chayfetz or not, or it's Sturman.
I would say it's more similar to the question of Shah Hamishis versus Shah Shishis in the Brisker Rav. But yeah, I mean this classic Brisker say, there's a din. Two din that look the same, but really you have to ask, just because it's no good, is it no good for a fundamental reason or for an external reason? That's a classic Brisker move. Okay, let's just continue. Gemara then, the Gemara brings out another interesting halacha, which we're going to deal with briefly. The Gemara Agav, total side point, brought in the case where the Shem Hashem was written on the Korah. Right? It says, if a guy brings it, where did this come from? This is a tangent of a tangent. The tangent to us was, if a guy donates something, stam, do we worry it was Lashamayim or not? And we said, by the Truma, we're worried it's Lashamayim unless he says the Das Yisrael. Say, is it really true, stam, we're worried Lashamayim? But if he writes Shem Hashem on a beam and donates it, we worry Lashamayim? Doesn't Hashem only worry Lashamayim if he writes Shem Hashem? Where it says, no, we always worry it might be Lashamayim if he doesn't say Ladas Yisrael. So why did you, if we, anytime a guy donates something, if he doesn't say Ladas Yisrael, we're choshes to Lashamayim, and it's Yigunis. Okay, so why did it pick Davka the case of where he wrote Shem Hashem on the Korah? And now we get into the next topic.
A practical question.
Yes.
We had for Shabbat a woman pastor, and she left these flyers saying, God blesses you. So do I have to interject the word God as if it's Kedizah, or I don't know what she meant by God?
Okay, that is a great question, which is not necessarily relevant directly to our sugya. Why? Because in our sugya, it's clear in Reda Wapshot that you're not allowed to erase Shem Hashem on this Korah, right? The question is just, what do you do with the whole Korah? It's clear you can't be in Vaza the Shem Shemayim, right? In your case, this comes up to two questions. Number one, if a guy writes Shem Hashem, does that mean Hashem? Or does that mean the guy is thinking of someone else here? Number two, God in English, is that a Shem Hashem or not? The mainstream halacha is, I think the Rav apparently was very stark on this, that God is a kinoy, not a shame, because it's a translation. This Sechemet brings us down from a few Chronim, I forget who. So the mainstream halacha is that God is erasable, that you don't write G-dash-D, you can write G-O-D, because that's not the name of Hashem, the name of Hashem is in Hebrew. That's just a kinoy in English. There are those who are machmir. There are those who are machmir on that. Also there's all machlokas, whether if a guy writes Shem Hashem, that's considered kaddish or not, a good omen of a zara, certainly. I don't know what kind of, every pastor is to a certain extent. It's a big question exactly what's the difference between different kinds of,
she was born,
pastors versus priests, etc. But she was not a Unitarian pastor. The Unitarian pastors are okay, right? The joke is the Unitarians are absolutely sure that there's for sure no more than one God. I think you can throw it out in this case. Because the Ikra did in general in God, it's only a chumrah that people throw out the word God in English. That people are going to use the word God in English. Now we're here with the other Southern Lockhill. So, okay. If someone's passing differently, feel free.
There was a video on YouTube when they brought the Lubavitcher Rebbe. They showed that you can actually see it. Somebody brought him Kavim, the thing that Yoshka was Mashiach, and they wrote the same Hashem, and he took it through it, and he said, Fet.
Okay.
Isn't right.
I heard that the Rav was very, very machbit. When in my Maimonides school, you could write God on the board and erase it, and sometimes you just write God on the board and erase it just to show that it was mutter, even written by a Jew, Kolshkin in this case. Okay, where it's written by someone with very questionable, problematic theology about exactly what the nature of God is. Now, says the Gemara. Who had din the afal gav started by the dalai mishpat the ancient kosher lanami by gniza even without shem hashem would need gniza
That's not the relevant factor of Akamashvon, so why did it bring in the Shem Hashem? For the other part of Im Amar B'Das Yisrael Eprashtiya Yagod, Yagod V'Yishtamish Mosar. For the other Chiddush, the Chiddush is not that because of the Shem Shemayim, therefore we suspect it might be hektish. No, anytime a guy does anything to a shul, we suspect it might be hektish. Rather, if he doesn't say L'Das Yisrael. Rather, we only brought in the shame that teaches a different din of Orcha, which is the din of you're allowed to cut off the piece of the shame and use the rest of it. Meaning, there's no Isser, there's no Kedusha on the whole thing because of the shame Shemayim. Right? That's what it says. The shame Shalom Komo love Kedush, John, by the way. Shame Shalom Komo is not Kedush. The Tanana, Yukosma, Yosef, Hilma, Korin, Mita, Yogan, Yignos. This teacher's rule has nothing to do with donations. It just means if you have a shame on a beam or on a handle, right, or on the leg of the bed, you cut it off, and the implication is you cut off the shame, but you can use the rest. Because shame, shalom, komo, what's the lashon again? Lav kadosh. Now here we have a bit of an eat shoots and leaves problem. What does it mean, Shem Shalom Komo Lav Kadosh? So, where do you put the comma? Okay, how many opinions does Rashi have about where to put the comma? Two. Right? What does it mean, Shem Shalom Komo? Shem Shalom Komo Lav Kadosh. Okay, what are the two ways to read this sentence? Right? What is the, what's the first way Rashi reads the sentence? What's the first way Rashi reads the sentence? Right? He doesn't have 2 days about the comma?
Shame.
Shame. Lav Kadosh. A shame Hashem. Outside of the place of that Shem Hashem itself, there's no Kedusha. Shem Hashem, there's only Kedusha where the Shem Hashem is, there's no Kedusha on the rest of it. And that's the Yishtamish Bamosa. The rest of it's not Kadosh, only the part with the Shem is Kadosh, right? Only with Shem is Kadosh, the rest is not Kadosh. Right? Only the part with the Shem is Kadosh. The rest of it is not kadosh. The now even the it's interesting. The Urayim asks a kasha on Rashi. He's mafrit this pshat of Rashi. How is he mafrit this pshat of Rashi? Quotes Gemara in Katan says that says if you chas v'shalom see right this is in Yana Dioma of Megillah Seicha right. If you chas v'shalom see a sefer Torah being burned, what does the Gemara Katan say? You have to hear twice. Once for the letters, and once for the blank parchment. So he says, what do we see from here? We see from here that even the part where the shame is not written has kedusha. And not only that, it's pretty clear, Masechta Shabbos, the whole Dion, the Golyonos, the margins you save not, it's pretty clear halachically that in the Rambam, that the margins of Sefer Torah also have Kedusha. So you have to figure, what does Rashi mean? How could a shame be only Mikadosh Makomo? Don't we know that a Sefer Torah has Kedusha, even in the empty margins? So how would you answer that?
It's not a
Midin. What? It's not Midin Shame, but Midin. Exactly, that's the Pashup shot, is to answer the Urayim. Urayim asks from margin of the Sefer Torah, right? You could answer that Kitvei HaKodesh is Mekadesh. I wouldn't even go so far as this, that Midin Kitvei HaKodesh, not Midin Shame. That's not because of the shame, that's the Kisvei HaKodesh. If I just write Yud Kei Vav Kei on a piece of paper, then no, it's only Mekadesh, the part of the paper it's written on. The rest of the paper I can cut off and use in the bathroom for toilet paper. That's Kisvei HaKodesh. Kisvei HaKodesh is different. That's a Chavos of a Seder. That is a different story. That's Pashup Shad. Again, unlike the Brisk Rav here, who assumes the Kedusha of shame is the same as the Kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh, Pashup is not the suit of anything. Kisvei HaKodesh, it's a whole Sefer. A whole Sefer is a whole Sefer. That's different. That's the tour of a Sefer. Over here, we're talking about a shame. A shame is the shame. That's the first shot of Rashi. Second shot of Rashi is... How weird you put the comma?
There's no... There's really no comma. It's more of like a dash.
Shame shalom komo. Lav kadosh. Don't be so pedantic. Shame shalom komo. Lav kadosh. A shame written in the wrong place is not kadosh. A shame written in the wrong place is not kadosh. Shame written in the right place is kadosh. A shame written in the wrong place is not kadosh. What does this mean? Why is it the wrong place? Because obviously it's the wrong place to write a shame on a Korah or Yadus HaKelim or Kari Yamita. Where are you supposed to write a shame? You're supposed to write a shame in a sefer, right? On vil or cloth, and maybe together with a whole pasuk. That's where you're supposed to write a shame. Over here, a shame in the wrong place is not kadosh. Here also, the question is, what does it mean, not kadosh? The simple shot is, does that mean you're allowed to erase it? If it's written shlobim komo? Obviously not, because you'll go to be a shamish mosa, right? Obviously not to erase it. L'chori, you're not allowed to be mevaza it. Right? Pashas, you're not allowed to erase it. Also, there are other things, right? You're not supposed to be omer b'nei Hashem arum. Right? You're not supposed to stand naked in front of Hashem, even if it's written on Kari Mitzvah. That's called Bizoy Hashem. That's what you think you would bring it into the bathroom? Is a Bizoy Hashem? Pashas is still Asher and Mechikan. It's clearly it's Asher and Mechikan and Bizoy. That's why it says Yogud. What does it mean? It means... Bizayon, that's why you need to do yoga. Just means it's not mekadesh. It doesn't, like, it's a little misleading. It doesn't mean the shame itself is not holy. What do you mean? It's still a holy name of Hashem. You're still not allowed to erase it. it just means it's not mekadesh. The material it's written on. That is the Pashup Shad. Right? The Rav in the Shema Shirim that was in brackets deals with exactly what's the nature of the shame that you're not allowed to erase, but yet it's not Makadosh the material it's written on, and he has two formulations. Either maybe it's a Chetza Shel Shame without Kedusha Shel Shame. As a Chetza Shel Shame, you're not allowed to erase it. But it doesn't have the Kedusha of shame, and that's why it's not the Makadosh material it's written on. Or he says, no, it's a Kedusha of the shame also, but it's not Kedusha's Kisvei HaKodesh. Only Kisvei HaKodesh, which includes shame written in a pasuk where it's supposed to be, is mekadesh the material it's written on. A shame is only mekadesh the ink itself, and not what it's written on. Okay, so you can get the rub. It's fancy formulations. Chetzer shall shame without kedusha shame, or kedusha shame without kedusha's kisvei hakodesh. Either way, that's clearly what the second day means. The shame itself is still the holy name of Hashem, but the material that it's written on is not kadosh material. It could very well be. I don't want to, you know. I mere speculation. But an interesting question. Clearly, he's saying it's not Mekadesh the material it's written on. Is it Mekadesh the ink or not? Might depend if the Rosh is a Chetzer Shel Shem. The ink's also not Kadesh. Just, you can't erase it. That would be erasing the content. While if it's Kedush Hashem without Kisvei HaKodesh, maybe the ink would be Kodesh, just not the paper. That I don't know. But clearly, the content is Kodesh. The material you write on is not. And that's, you know, maybe the doubt community, the two formulations of the Rav is how about the ink, but there I'm speculating, so I'll leave it at that. Okay, here are the two Pashup Shad and Sogya. Agav, in the Urayim, it sounds like, it's a little hard to read Urayim. I don't know if anyone who ever tries to read Urayim, it's full of just our Kiksav Yad, we published the Urayim from, is a very bad one. Either that or it's copied over poorly. But, and the Urayim is full of Tohu Sofer. So it's always hard to know exactly what he means when it comes to subtleties. It sounds to me from the Urayim like he's combining both pshatim. And he says, what it means is a shame shalom komo is not Makadish shalom komo. Which would be a finish in Pshat in the Gemara. We'll leave that aside for now. But it sounds, he doesn't say that in one line, it sounds like in the other line. Depends exactly which part you want to amend in the Urim. Okay, you can look on your own, see if the Urim combines both Pshatim, that would be a finish. We'll stick to the idea that there are two Pshatim. Okay, what's the nafgamina of these two Pshatim? What's the nafgamina of these two Pshatim? Either way, the principle is clear. What's the principle? If you write Shem Shamayim in a ridiculous place, you just cut off that part and you use the rest. Either because it's not Mekadesh outside of its part, or because it's not Mekadesh at all. But you still can't erase it, or reinvase it, so you have to cut it off. So what's the nafgamina? First of all, which way is Tosfos hold?
In the first case, you're making some physical
Okay. Okay, you're right. That's also the nafgamina. Which way does Tosfos hold? Tosfos is very clear the first way. He says, Dibumkomo mia kadosh. So Tosfos clearly holds the first way. Now, Tosfos seems to make a nafgamina from it of exactly what Stewie was saying. You just concretize it a little more. What does Tosfos say? Tosfos says, here Tos says a chiddush. What does it mean, yogod? What does it mean you cut it out? Now that's a tricky root word. Like, what does it mean exactly? Lagud something. So Tos says a chiddush. What does it mean, lagud something? How? Okay, let me very concretize this, right? I know there are many things in the world that I'm not very good at, and not everyone has all the talents. Many things in the world I'm not skilled and talented at. Probably the top of that list is art. But nonetheless, I'm going to try to draw a korah with a shem Hashem on it. I think I can handle. Here is a korah, that's a rectangle, and here, obviously, I'm not going to write the shem Hashem. That's the shem Hashem. The squiggles are really a shem Hashem. It's
first
really
good
rectangle
in history.
What?
It's the first round rectangle.
I mean, that's a matter of semantics. I'm sure people have sold rectangles that were round before. But yes, I told you exactly that art was not my forte. Okay, what do you have to cut off? What do you have to cut off? What does Tosfos say? You have to cut off that whole piece. Meaning, if it's written in the middle of your korah, it makes your korah a heck of a lot less valuable. Right? You have to chop the korah into three pieces. So if it's at the end of your korah, you just chop it off two pieces. If it's in the middle of your korah, you have to chop it in three pieces. Then look at his lashon. He says, Chaticha sheken neged Hashem. You have to cut off the whole piece that's neged Hashem. How might you have interpreted it? Until you saw this Tosfos, what did you think? It's obviously subjective, but right, this is what I thought. I thought it means you just cut off enough to take the Shem Hashem. Right? You cut off enough to take the Shem Hashem so that you can put the Shem Hashem in Shemus, how thin of a layer or thick of a layer, however skilled you are, the thinnest layer you can get without erasing Shem Hashem. Right? If you're very skilled, you can take a thin layer. If you're not so skilled, take a thin. But why do you have to go all the way through? So this Tosfos is a, and I think this Tosfos is a Chiddush, this Tosfos L'chora is a Nafgamina. Nafgamina is, the area, the whole area under the shein. Tosfos says, "Bimkomo mia kadosh." Tosfos says that it's all aser. The whole area under the shein is aser because bimkomo mia kadosh. But I think it's obvious. It goes without saying. If you take the second shot of Rashi. If you take the second shot of Rashi and say, no, it's not Mekadosh at all. You can't be Mevazeh the Shein. You can't be Mekadosh the Shein. It's not Mekadosh at all. If it's not Mekadosh at all, you just can't be Mekadosh the Shein. Then take a sliver off of the Shein. Right? So it would be Pashut. Right? That, no. All Mutter. Just scrape off a little piece with the shame. I haven't, in the case of the Korah, I don't have anyone who explicitly disagrees with Tosfos, But it seems obvious, according to the second day of Tosos, that he would disagree. And, we will have someone pretty much. Okay. It's a matter of semantics how explicit it is. Let's see who says explicitly there's an opportunity of this Hakira. We have to go to the end of Tosos. Says the end of Tosos, Yishazark, Shekos, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, the Gerum, Bakam, Hashem, Shein, Lichtov, and Komo. If you're writing the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and you scrape off a little piece, like the top layer of cloth with the Shem Hashem, you do that. Obviously, you saw that in a case where you wrote Shem Hashem by accident where you weren't supposed to.
That's clear, because then he talks about writing. Well, here he doesn't say
Akir, but he's talking about writing a different word in its place. Meaning, you're supposed to write a different word. You write Vahayaki, and you actually write Vahayaki Hashem instead of Yiviyacha. Right? So what do you do? So, you take a knife very skillfully and just scrape off the top layer of cloth, preserving the shame intact, and put the shame into Gniza, and then can you write Yiviyacha there? So Tosos says you cannot write Yiviyacha there. Why can't you write Yiviyacha there? Now Tosos is making an assumption that the Uran doesn't seem to agree with, that this is called Shalom Mkoma. Why is it Shalom Mkoma? Because you were supposed to write Yiviyacha. We could have seen that different ways. But Tosos says all the way down it's Kaddish. Says the Shittu Mekubetz says here, Shittu Mekubetz was this? Yeah, I couldn't find this in the Vilna Shas, this paragraph Shittu Mekubetz says. It could be this only in the version of the Ozva Hadar, which has a little more than the Vilna Shas, but in the version of the Ozva Hadar has a subtlety where he says from the Gilyon, quoting the Re, Ulafi perish rishon kshetowin v'kosu Hashem makalfumi ala klap ein lichtov mkomo. According to the perish rishon, it's usher, but according to the perish sheni, it's mutter. Here is all usher, and likewise, right? You can't use the cloth underneath when you peeled off a shame, right? But says the Shem Gets is that's the Perish Rishon. The Perish Rishon, a shame is Mekadesh Shalom Ben Komo, it's Mekadesh Ben Komo all the way down. Therefore, you're stuck if you write Shem Hashem and you peel it off, you can't write anything else in that space. However, he says the Shittu Mekubetzes, according to the Perish Sheni, though, by accident, in the wrong place, which he considers to be Shalom Mkomo, I know you can say there's not enough green, because that's called Mkomo, but if you write by accident in the wrong place, you can peel off a thin layer, and use the cloth underneath. That's what the Shittu Mekubetz says, according to the second day. So the Shittu Mekubetz before is what's an afkamina between the first day and the second day. He doesn't say an afkamina is how about underneath in the Korah, but obviously he has that in mind. According to the first day. No, it answers its makom all the way down. But in the second day, it doesn't answer anything. Likewise, when it comes to the cloth, if you write in the wrong place, according to the first day, it answers all the way down. According to the second day, it doesn't answer anything. Now again, I'm not saying this is mochrach, this nafkamina. You could have said that even going to the first day, bimkomo doesn't mean all the way down, if you had so desired. B, you could have said in the case of the cloth, that's considered bimkomo and answers according to both deos, because on a cloth, just in the wrong part of the pasuk. C, you could have said like the Hakim the Brisker Rav that writing another pasuk is fine, so that's also writing a biyach is also kaddish. But the Shittu Mekubetz says here's the nafkamina. Is it the kaddish all the way down when you write in the wrong place, or it's not the kaddish anything? You just peel it off. And who paskined against Tosos on this? The Rimi Beis Levi, right, quoted by the Magen Avraham. Now Rabbi Akiva on the side says Kasher Shalom, we never meant to pask against Tosos. That's not what he meant, but that's what he meant. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Re-Levi. The Re-Levi is not the Maharil. It's a different early Akron, the Re-Levi-based Levi. He says that
even according to the Rush, who says you can't cut out the whole square with the Shem Hashem, much of the colorful custom, you can peel it off and write something else in its place. Okay, that's Pashup Shat, and this is the Psak of the Re Levi. Again, not the Maharil, who's the more famous Reish Yud Lamed, but the Rimi Beis Levi, who's a less famous early Achron Reish Yud Lamed. It's not in the Bar Ilan, but it's, I found it online in the farm stores, if you want to buy a copy. Okay, that's one Nafkamina. So the other Nafka, meaning what's this Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is, how about all the way under a shame, Shalom Mkomo, whole area under the shame. Of course, we're only talking about a shame in the wrong place. Right? If the shame was written in the right place, it wouldn't be an afkamina. Shame in the right place is Mekadesh Shalom Yisrael. Question is, the shame is in the wrong place. According to the first shot, it's still Mekadesh all the way down. According to the second shot, according to the second shot, it's not Mekadesh all the way down. Just the shame itself you have to protect.
Can't you make the difference that sort of hinted to it, that did you write this shame on purpose, or did you write it by accident in that place?
Correct. You could, meaning exactly how the five and Shalom come, I think there could be a reasonable definition also. The other Nafkamina is a big machlokes poskim, which starts with this, what did I quote? I quoted the Panim Eros in the Pesachei Tshuva, and then there's a lot of literature on that, a big Chavos Yar that was summarized in some of the modern poskim that I put there, is a fascinating question of, let's say you write a Shem Shalom Komo. Is there Kedusha to its place? Or just Isser Mechika Ubizayim? What's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is, can I use the place where the shame is if I use it respectfully and in a way that it won't make it wear off? Yados HaKeila, and that's Mechika Ubizayim. Praya Mita is Mechika Ubizayim. What if I use it respectfully? Like, for example, can I write the, let's say I have Shem Hashem written on fancy crystal goblets, can I drink from them? It's not a bizayon of the shame, it's not a mechika of the shame, right? So that's the discussion in the poskim. What would you say? Meaning, can I respectfully use the kli for secular purposes? What would you think? Can I respectfully use the kli for secular purposes?
Isn't that just Eric Mara? You're taking a coin as an initial. It's so awesome.
Yes, Stephen Munachim. Respectfully secular.
No.
Only for secular, it's not respecting the Shem Hashem.
Who says? What if I use it in a respectful way? What if it's a, a gold signet ring that I'm causing a lot of respect when I use it. You see, it's a very mechubit kind of thing. What if it's a what if it's a gold necklace? I put Shem Hashem on it. Do people do that nowadays? There's this fellow named Hadaya. In the old city? Anyone know who I'm talking about? All girls know who I'm talking about. Yeah. Who puts psukim on jewelry and creates halachic shaylas for all seminary girls. Am I allowed to go to the bathroom? Am I not? Etc., etc., etc. Right? So I think that the laniyas daiti, all those jewelry psukim on it, were lo nitnu el ochli hamon. But the... thank you. Who didn't have to go to the bathroom? But I don't think you put Shem Hashem in it. Let's say you put Shem Hashem in it. It's a very respectful, very chashuv kind of, very, very chashuv kind of thing. Maybe it's a gold pen that I sign important documents with and I show. So, just one second. Here's the case of the Panami Eros. He dealt with this. Chaku chevras kabronim al kosu shezachuk shos mehem is a psukim shel shem gam shem avaya kichsivah. So they put the yud ke vav ke on fancy crystal glasses, and one rabbi says you're not allowed to drink with them, and he says no. He says the problem, Rav, was only yados hakelim because of bizayon, because everyone touches them and obi mechika, and likewise kari hamita val kli mechubad. He says, and then he says, okay, to be extra machmir in the end, he says maybe you should cover the shame and then use it. But clearly, what did the Panami Iro say? The Panami Iro says, it's mutter to use the kli if it's respectful. Ah, what about the Kora? And Mistama, the Kora, he would say, was talking about where it wasn't going to be respectful. You're going to have to saw the Kora, maybe you would nail it in a place where it would be, it might get rotten, or it might get disrespected, or you might step on it. But what is the Chiddush of the Panami Iro? Which shot would that work according to? No, you can use the Kalim as long as you use it respectfully. This is where we're going for the second. Since Shlomo Kalim, it's not Kaddish at all, says the Panami Iro. Says you can use the kli because it's not kaddish at all. You can't disrespect the shame, but there's no kedusha. It's not hooked to the mitzvah. So it's not like a sukkah during sukkahs that you're not allowed to use for secular use. It's not like Shabbos oil. Shabbos kind of oil that you can't use for secular use. It's just a regular kli. Just be careful with Shem Hashem. The Chavetz Yor famously said the opposite. His case actually was a signet ring. A fancy signet ring that he would keep up on it. So, A says, that's a very respectful signet ring. Are the most respectful kli ever. Right? You treat it with tons of respect. So can you use it or not?
You have to come back to Morty's question. Depends why you look at it,
no? No, so let's assume this is Shalom Kolbo. I mean, this is clearly Shalom Kolbo, right? He didn't write it for the right purposes. He wrote it just for fanciness, just on a whim. And it doesn't matter. Either way, here it's objectively not from Kolbo. Like, it doesn't belong here. Like, there is no good reason to write it here. Just one second. He says, Pash Gemara Be'erchen V'Rasham Mashmi Tam Isra Na Shal Kli Al Yashem Nogobo. There's an Isra Na. V'Ayin Shuvas Chavos Yair. And he says, that's the Chavos Yair, Psak, the Chavos Yair, says, and quoted by the Shem Olivia, the Maisa, most folks are against the Panami Iro, says, you can't use it because at least the part under the Shem is Aser Behana. At least the part under the Shem is Aser Behana. So therefore, you can't use Geser HaNa'ah. And they basically argue, interesting, about whether they make diyukim from Yadus HaKelim. What's the chiddush of Yadus HaKelim? Why say Yadus HaKelim? Panim Ira says, because Yadus HaKelim are bizayim. But in a fancy kli would be okay. A handle is bizayim. A fancy kli would be okay. And the Shimon HaLevi here says that no, because the kli, obviously you're not letting HaNa'ah. The yad is not so important. You might think that's not called HaNa'ah from Shem Hashem, because it's just the yad, so it's no problem. Kamashma is still Asher HaNa'ah. Meaning, what they're basically arguing about is, why do you have to cut it out? Says the Chavos Yair, because of the Iser HaNa'ah, because of the Kedusha, and says the Panim Eros, no, because of the Iser Mechika, and Bizoyom, but there's no Kedusha, no Isra HaNa'ah. That's clearly a big Nafkamina. Is there Kedusha, or is there only Isra Mechika Bizoyom? Nafkamina, if you have something very respectful, would that be okay?
You specify secular purposes. You have a vendor for kidney union. The guy writes the Bropia Gophin on it.
So usually nowadays they don't write Shem Hashem.
You do.
Ah, that would be a fascinating question. Meaning, what if you were going to use it for mitzvah purposes? Right. Would the Chavos Yair be molded if you were using it for mitzvah purposes? And even though I wrote secular purposes, my intuition is that he might ask for it for mitzvah purposes also, because still the Kedusha of Hashem is greater than the Kedusha of mitzvos. But the Kedusha of Hashem is a higher level of Kedusha.
meaning there's tashmisha kedusha and tashmisha mitzvah. Normally, tashmisha mitzvah are kedusha or kisvei hakodesh. Tashmisha mitzvah are lulav and shofar, at least according to Rabbeinu Tam, against the Rambam and then sukkah, etc. This is a kedusha, be higher than mitzvah. So I think in pashas it would be usher. When I wrote secular, I might have been left out. Those are all the cases they used, the examples they used. Okay, so the so here we have two ways of interpreting our Gemara. With two nafkaminas, the basic question is: does Shem, Shlom, and Komo have any kedusha? Does the Shem, Shlom, and Komo have any kedusha or not? Again, if it has some kedusha, then you'd have to cut off the whole thing underneath, and you wouldn't be able to use it at all. If it has no kedusha, you still have to peel it off to wear mechiko bizayim, but you don't have to ask for the whole part, cut off the whole part underneath, and you can use it as long as you're using it in a respectful way that will not rub it out and that will not be disrespected, that will not be, you know, a light-headed disrespectful use, like the case of Kavitz Yar, the Panim Eros, who you have fancy things, then maybe it would be mutter even without cutting off the shame. I mean, I assume the Kol Shel Zechuchus, they probably didn't even have equipment they could cut off the shame without breaking the whole glass. And likewise, I think in the signet ring, somehow it would have been mekalkel, the whole beauty, the whole thing, if they'd cut off the shame. I don't know exactly how it worked. We did not get up to tzedakah yet. We have, very sadly for everyone other than my wife and kids, we only have one more shir this month, and then it's Bein HaZmanim. No, Bein HaZmanim is good. There's good reasons for Bein HaZmanim. For everyone. We only have one more shir. We'll have to talk about tzedakah then. What I will try to do is, talk about tzedakah on Thursday shir, which is going to be a last shir of this month. Then we'll pick up again on the first day of Seder will be Yud Elul, August 25th. The first shir will be 2 days later. We'll talk about tzedakah. I'll try to briefly summarize the mission of Goses V'Yotzei Harev, which is really the last Erkin part of our parak. I'll try to briefly summarize the Mishnah of Goses V'Yotzei Harev and the Gemara told the two dots, and maybe say make one or two ha'aris about it. And then Bli Nedra, I'll just send out in the Makoros some basic interesting Makoros for those who want to finish the Perek. There's an interesting sugya of Gavra Katila and Milva Balpeh and status of an Ubar and Isra Nana Mace, etc. So maybe I'll send out a few Mar Makomos for those who want to extend their Zman into Bein HaZmanim and finish up the Perek.